Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ha! Amen. We are in the middle of a wonderful series. And I say it's wonderful because it has ministered so much to me. When I started this series in April, I had no idea what I was going to be going through in these last 3 months. Praise the Lord. God is good. He knew what I needed. Amen. And I tell you, when he taught me just deeper and deeper about what it meant to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, boy, it did something to me. I don't know about anybody else, but it did something for me. Amen. And then we talked about that we are complete in Christ. See, that's the way God thinks about us. And that's why this series is entitled, I Am What God Says I Am. We need to think after his thoughts. And then we talked about that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. And I tell you, those three things in particular just got me through these last 3 months. When times were dark, when I didn't understand all that was going on, God was right there. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He is not holding anything back from me. And then last time we talked about that we are new creatures in Christ. That's the way God sees us. And we are what God says we are. You know, that scripture about being a new creature in Christ comes from 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation, something totally new, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, I didn't talk about this last time, but that word behold is in the imperative. It's in the imperative. It's a command. Behold. And he's saying to us, behold, look at you, that you are a new creature in Christ. New things have come and all things are of God, it says in verse 18. Ah, come on, we got to do this. Everybody stand up. Come on, everybody up. Everybody up. Amen. Now, basically what that word behold is saying is, hey, everybody, look. Look at me. Behold. Okay, so I want us to take on that attitude, okay? Are you ready? Now, be honest with me. How many people actually did that this week? Looked at yourself in the mirror and said, behold. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Okay, we got to get over that, okay? You know what? This is not a time for us to have false modesty, okay? Because this is what God has said about you, okay? So I want you to repeat after me. In the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I am what God says I am.
I am what God says.
And in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I am the righteousness of God.
I am the righteousness.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Behold.
Behold.
I am the righteousness of God.
I am the righteousness of God.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I am what God says I am.
I am what God says I am.
And in the name of Jesus.
And in the name of Jesus.
I am complete in Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Behold.
I am complete.
I am complete.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's go on. We're not done yet. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I am what God says I am.
I am what God says I am.
And in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I am seated with Christ.
I am seated with Christ.
In heavenly places.
In heavenly places.
Behold,
behold,
I am seated with Christ.
I am seated with Christ.
Amen. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I am what God says I am.
I am what God says I am.
And in the name of Jesus.
And in the name of Jesus.
I am a new creature in Christ.
I am a new creature in Christ.
Behold,
behold,
I am a new creature.
I am a new creature.
In Christ.
In Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Woo! All right. All right. Thank you, Jesus. So now that you've done it, okay, tomorrow morning when you get up and you look at yourself in the mirror, say it. Behold. Yes. Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the first time we taught this, we talked about the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We stand in a place before God. He sees us through the blood of Jesus as righteous, without sin. But as the Lord has been teaching me, I want to take you to a different level tonight. I want you to think about righteousness in a different way. Okay? Now, we have talked about righteousness as that spiritual state of being righteous before God. But righteousness is more than just a state of our position in Christ. Now, I'm not exactly sure the right words to put to this, but we'll start with this and see where it goes. Righteousness is not just that state. Righteousness is also a place. In 2 Peter chapter 3, when Peter here is talking about the end of the age, and he talks about the earth being destroyed by fire, he says this in verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now think about that for a second. A new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Why is righteousness dwelling there? That's because the evil one has been bound. There is no temptation to sin. There is no evil. The people that are there are the born-again Christians. Those that have overcome, those that have been martyred, those that have come down with Christ from heaven, the dead in Christ, righteousness is dwelling there. Okay. However, that's talking about the future. But Romans 14:17 says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Now, when I always read that in the past, I've kind of seen it as, you know, like righteousness doesn't quite fit with peace and joy. I mean, I can wrap my arms around peace and joy. You know, I understand what peace feels like. I understand what joy feels like. But what the Lord began to teach me was about this place of righteousness in the kingdom of God. See, in this place of righteousness, there is peace. There is joy. There is the love of God. There is the power of God. But it's also filled with purity. Evil has no part in righteousness. Evil does not exist in that place of righteousness. It is free from the wages of sin. It's free from guilt. It's free from condemnation. It's free from the pounding pressures of temptation. Righteousness is that place in God of joy and peace. I tell you, when the Lord was teaching me about this, there was just a place I have never been before of that joy and that peace and the love of God and the absence of evil. It was amazing. Now, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He also said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled with what? Filled with righteousness. Filled with that place that is without evil. Because, see, sin can't dwell in righteousness. In 1 Peter 2:24, we are told, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, so that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. See, the place of righteousness is more than just that state of being righteous. It's more than just the outcome of our attempts to not sin in our lives. It is a place that is in the kingdom of God. And when God was showing me this, when I was in that place, you know what came up out of my heart? Were these words. Because see, there was such peace. There was such joy. There was no evil. There was no sin. There was no wages of sin. It was a wonderful place. And what rose up out of my heart, and these words came out of my mouth, God, I don't want to sin anymore. I hate sin. I hate evil. I hate the consequences of my sin. I mean, as I begin to think about the challenges in my life towards sin, it was like, God, I don't want to sin anymore, because I did not want to disrupt that place of righteousness. And that has helped me so much, because I tell you, a thought comes across my mind to do something, and it's like, wait a second, I'm not leaving this place. This place of righteousness, this place in the kingdom of God, this place of peace and joy, I'm not leaving it. Live in the kingdom of God where righteousness dwells. So see, when we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, it's not just that we stand before him pure and he sees us through the blood of Jesus. It's also we are the righteousness of God because we are to dwell in that righteousness. We are to seek that righteousness. Oh, man. I hope that took you to a different place, because it certainly did me. Amen. And you know, we have talked about that around here in the sense of a commitment not to sin. I don't want to sin anymore. And when that rose up out of my heart, God, I don't want to sin anymore. I mean, that's where we need to live. That's where we want to be, because that helps us to overcome. And in these last days, as we need to accomplish the things that God wants us to accomplish, we need to be in that place of righteousness. Amen. Amen. Okay, I think we have a lesson to get to tonight. Thank you, Jesus. That's just the wonderful hors d'oeuvres. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I am what God says I am. Part 5. Healthy, healed, and whole. Man living healthy, healed, and whole has always been part of God's plan. From the garden in Genesis to heaven at the end of Revelation, God has planned for his people to be walking in divine health. Our salvation package, which was secured for us by the shed blood of Jesus on the cross, includes healing. God does not expect anything less than his people walking healthy, healed, and whole. And we need to see ourselves the way that God sees us, healthy, healed, and whole. God is the God of healing. Adam and Eve in the garden, they were made perfect their bodies were perfect. God expected and built their bodies that they would live forever, which means no disease, no sickness, no death. Matter of fact, that scene in Genesis 2:17 there, where God says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eat of it, you shall surely die." The implication there is that if they didn't eat it, and they continued to live the way that God had designed them to live, without sin, that death would not have been part of their existence. So their bodies were created perfect. That's the way God was preparing and planning for man to be healed. However, man did sin. And as a result, evil came in. And what entered with evil was sickness and disease leading to death. However, God did not leave them there, did not leave us there. In Exodus 15:26, after the children of Israel had come out of Egypt and were delivered from the Egyptians through the Red Sea, God said this to them in Exodus 15:26, "And he, God, said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the God that healeth thee." And that is where we talk about the name of God, Jehovah Rapha. In the Hebrew, that is Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals thee. God revealed himself through his names. And this is one of those names, Jehovah Rapha. He is the healing God. Now, this promise continued from that time. Matter of fact, in a few chapters later, in 19, God established a covenant with the children of Israel, promising them that he would be their God as long as they served him. So when we come to the time of Jesus, and we see all these sick people around, there was a problem because they weren't obeying what God had told them to do, with the result that God was the God that would heal them. God made another provision through the Messiah, through Jesus. Now, these next three verses here, I have them written out because we call this the story of healing. God's provision of healing for us as Christians. It started 700 years before Christ when Isaiah gave this prophecy talking about the Messiah. Now, this is in the Amplified. "Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, afflicted by God, as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being," that's shalom, by the way, "for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, he was healed and made whole." See, God provided the means for healing for us as Christians, especially 700 years before the Messiah even came. God is a God of healing, and he desires healing for his people. I want to talk a little bit about this scripture here. In the King James, that scripture says that surely he has borne our griefs and our sorrows. And those are true words that he has borne our griefs and our sorrows. The Hebrew, though, has a much broader definition than just griefs and sorrows. That's why we see here sicknesses, weaknesses, distresses, pains, and so on. So when we talk about healing, it's not just about physical healing, because he did bear in his body our griefs and our sorrows. And God's been teaching me some about that. Not everyone may know this, but 2 months ago today, my wife went to heaven. My wife of 35 years. And it wasn't until this week that it really hit me. And I really began to miss her. And the emotions just began to well up. But I tell you what, we have a healing God. And he has ministered to me so deeply this week. On Monday, I was really missing that intimacy with another person. And I know I told Pastor that day, I said, I just want somebody to hug me. I just want to hug somebody, you know? I mean, it's nice to hug all you guys here and stuff like that, but it's not like hugging your wife, right? It's not like hugging your husband. And God was so good to me, because that morning, Jesus came into my room and he put his arms around me and embraced me. And then he walked me through Psalm 23. He said, Matt, I am your good shepherd. I take care of everything. I provide for all your needs. I'll lead you to the green pastures, lead you beside the still waters. I'll restore your soul. And it was just so wonderful as he walked me through that psalm. And I've had other similar type experiences this week of God just bringing healing to my heart. Now, it's just the beginning, I know. But I tell you what, he is the healing God. And when it says there that he bears our griefs and our sorrows, you know, both of those have to do with loss. And he does. He brings healing. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. He gives us peace and well-being. Jesus came. And he came healing. Most of his miracles were about physical healing. Matter of fact, here's an example in Matthew 8, 16 and 17. Now, the reason we like to use this particular one is because it refers back to Isaiah 53. When evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed of devils, and he cast them out with his word, and healed all, catch that word, healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Jesus came healing. Now, we see in 1 Peter 2:24 that our healing was sealed at the cross. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Notice that word, by his stripes. Where did we see that? Again, in Isaiah. So Jesus on the cross, as he bore our sins on the cross, also provided healing for us. That's why we need to see ourselves as healed. And notice it says, and ye were healed. Were, past tense. When Jesus died on the cross, our healing was paid for. That's why when God sees us, he sees us as healthy, healed, and whole. And we need to see ourselves. I am what God says I am, and I am healthy, I am healed, and I am whole. And that's it. That's the bottom line. That's the way we need to see ourselves. Now, let's go on. How to see yourself as healed. Seeing yourself as healed. How do we do that? What does that look like? First of all, let me start with a testimony, an example. Some years ago, when Tanya and I were living in Whittier, we had a house that from the kitchen to the dining area, there was about 3 steps down. And one day, Tanya didn't quite negotiate those steps correctly, and she ended up falling down those steps and landed on her lower leg on one of the steps and then onto the floor, and she was in a lot of pain. And so I happened to be really close by, so I came running over, and she's crying and in a lot of pain, and I immediately began to rebuke pain. And I said, Tanya, you got to get up. I don't know if I can. I'm in pain. I said, Tanya, you got to get up. You have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. You got to get up. And so we got her up, and she's kind of, limping. And she wanted me to guide her to bed, right? I said, Tanya, you have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. She said, yeah, but it hurts. And I said, I know. So we prayed again and commanded the pain to go. Pain began to subside, and she said, well, what am I supposed to do? I said, I tell you what, and this is what the Lord led me. I said, let's dance. And so I've got her 2 hands. I said, come on, let's dance. So we began to dance, right? And as we were dancing, the pain left, and before long, she's just dancing around like normal. See, that is seeing yourself healed. I mean, I was seeing it for her, but she began to see it as she stepped out in faith. See, we need to see our healing through the eye of faith, that we are the healed. Now, when we talked about being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and seated with Christ in heavenly places, these are kind of like spiritual concepts. We can believe them in our hearts and know that we're working them out in our life. It's a little easier to believe those things. It's a little easier to grab hold of some of those concepts. But healing can be pretty difficult because now you've added a new component of having to deal with the physical realm. So the pain, the discomfort, the feelings that you feel in your body or whatever, I mean, these are things that we have to deal with, the physical input to our bodies. So that's why it's so important that we are seeing through the eye of faith. We're not looking at what's going on in the natural. We're not looking at what's going on in our body. But you say, wait a second. What does God say? God says, I am healthy, healed, and whole. So Hebrews 11:1 tells us in the King James, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So our faith needs to kick in. Faith is a substance. We don't see the actual thing taking place right now, but because we know what God's word says, faith becomes the substance of what we're expecting, what we are hoping for. Now, that word hope there doesn't mean I wishy-washy, gee, I hope so. Gee, I hope it works. The Bible word for hope means confident expectation. So it's a confident expectation that God is my healer. And because we have that confident expectation, our Faith grabs hold of it, and that becomes our substance. That becomes, as it says in the Amplified, the evidence of our healing, the evidence of our faith. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. See, when we have that title deed, we know it's ours. When we have faith for what God's word says, we know that it is ours. That is our faith. We're grabbing onto that. We're not looking at what's happening in the natural. It's being the proof of the things we do not see as of yet, and the conviction of their reality. We know it's true, even though right now we don't see it. Perceiving as real fact that which is not yet revealed to the senses. So we have to see our healing through the eyes of faith. Let's look at that same concept in Hebrews 6, starting in verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith and patience. One of the things to remember about faith, about standing in faith, about the promises of God, is that there is nowhere in any of those promises that give us a timeline. It doesn't say, do this, believe that, and in 2 weeks, X is going to happen. Or 5 minutes, or 24 hours, or 6 months, or 1 year. There's no place that says that. It's faith and patience. We link our faith with what God's word says, and then we patiently wait for it, waiting on God. Now, it doesn't mean that we just sit there, keep our hands folded, and say, gee, I hope it's going to come sometime. No, there is work in patience. It's not just sitting there idly. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. In the Amplified, let me read verse 12, Hebrews 6, 12. Now, we're going to look at this whole little passage here, but I want us to focus on 6, 12 right now. In the Amplified, it says, in order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but become imitators, behaving as those who through faith. And now this is what I wanted you to see. This is a definition of faith in the Amplified, and I really like it. It says, by their leaning of their entire personality on God in Christ. The leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. I like that picture of the leaning of the entire personality. To me, that is really good definition of faith. Because I tell you, 8 years, almost 9 years ago now, when I was going through my challenge, matter of fact, I guess September it is going to be 9 years. Wow. When I was going through my challenge with my heart, I mean, that really became so important to me. The leaning of my entire personality. I was not just hoping that God would heal me. I was expecting. I knew it. I was putting the entire weight of my being. I wasn't looking to man. I wasn't looking to hospitals. I wasn't looking to doctors. I was looking to Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals me. And I put the full weight of my being on Him. There was no plan B. Plan B was not in the forefront at all, not even on the paper, because God was my healer, and that was it. You know, it wasn't like, well, if it doesn't work, then maybe I'll try this. No, Jesus was my plan A and my only plan. Let's go on. Hebrews 6:13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. God promised Abraham a son, and he swore by himself, I am God, and I am going to do it. Saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiply, I will multiply thee. He was being called to be the father of many nations. And so, after he had waited patiently, after he had patiently endured for 6 months. No, did Abraham wait 6 months? How about 5 years? Did he wait? I mean, that's a long time, right? To wait for a promise of God. Did he wait for 5 years? No. Was it 10 years? No. How long did he wait? 25 years. He was waiting on God for the first seed of the promise, which was a son. You know, one son a nation does not make, but one son a nation starts, right? That is the seed that starts that nation. So it took 25 years to get to that point. 25 years he's waiting on God. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. He made a covenant with Abraham in chapter 15 of Genesis. You can find that covenant, saying that I am going to fulfill what I said. And he cut a covenant with him in a language that Abraham could understand. He made a covenant with him. Confirmed it by an oath. Verse 18, this is what I wanted to get to. That by these two immutable things, and that is referring to the promise, we looked at that in verse 13, and that's referring to the oath, verse 17. By these two immutable, what does immutable mean? Unchangeable, unvaried, unflexible. Two immutable things. God made his promise, he's going to keep it. God made the oath to back it up, he's going to keep it. By these two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. You know, I was going to kind of do a joke that I sometimes do. You know, I looked up the word impossible, and you know what it means? Impossible. But I tell you what, it means more than that. It's two words. It's the first word is ah, just the prefix ah. And then the last word is dunamtos. Now, you probably don't recognize it in that, but if I said it this way, dunamis, dunami, you would know what that meant. That is the explosive, dynamic power of God, dunamis. All they did was put an A in front of it, which negated it. So in other words, God has no power whatsoever to lie. Now, we sang a song a little bit ago. It says, nothing is impossible to God, right? Nothing is impossible. Well, there is something that's impossible for God, and you need to grab hold of it. It is impossible for God to lie. He has no power to lie, which means that if he says that I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and he doesn't lie, I don't know about you, but I would take that to the bank. And you know what? I have. I have taken it to the bank. And I know that he cannot lie. I am healthy, healed, and whole. That's the way God sees me. That's the way I see me. So, let's go on. Not walking by sight. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So let's talk a little bit about that as it applies to healing. Number one, stop looking at the symptoms. When you get a pain, when you get a discomfort, when you start sniffling, when it feels like it's getting a scratchy throat, see, these are symptoms that we can feel in our bodies. First of all, don't look at the symptoms. Okay, that's walking by sight. This is what I find I've done in the past and other people will do. They try to figure out what's going on. Why do I have this pain? Boy, is this, you know, is it something I ate? Is it something I did? I must have worked out too hard. I, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you start and say, well, I wonder what the internet says about that. Going to Google, pain in stomach on right side. You know, it's like, okay, don't look at the symptoms. Don't focus on the symptoms. You know why? It doesn't matter. You have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Quit trying to figure it out. And also, now this one may seem kind of weird, but it is absolutely true. Stop looking for the manifestation. It's like, well, wait a second. I thought that's what I was believing for. You know, I got this pain and I want the pain to go away. So I'm, you know, doing my affirmations. I'm believing God that He is my healer. So is it still hurting? Is it still hurting? Is it still hurting? You know, that is walking by sight. You have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. The symptoms don't matter. Stop looking for the manifestation. Now, here's a good example of that. When I was going through my challenge with my heart, and it was doing all kinds of flipping and flopping around, and it seemed like in my chest, I kept finding myself checking my pulse. You know, I keep checking my pulse. And one day I realized, I said, what am I doing? I am healed. Why do I keep checking my pulse? It doesn't matter. God is my healer. I am healed. I'm believing that I am healed. So don't be looking for the manifestation. So what should you be doing? Focusing on God. You are the healed of the Lord. See, you are not the sick trying to figure out a way to get healed. That is a worldly concept. I'm sick. Go to the doctor. Doctor, do something for me. Give me a pill. Cut me open. Do whatever to make me healthy, healed, and whole. See, that is the world's way of looking at it. Our way of looking at it is, I am the healed of the Lord, therefore I am healed. So we don't look and walk by sight, we are walking by faith. I am what God says I am, healthy, healed, and whole. We need to have that vision of ourselves. We were healed. It happened at the cross. Our healing has been paid for. So don't look at the symptoms. Don't look for the manifestation. Expect the manifestation. I'm not saying that manifestation won't come. We need to expect the manifestation, but the expecting of the manifestation is not the same thing as looking for it and keep looking for it. You know, it's like, you know, okay, I'm going to do 5 affirmations that my eyesight is better. Okay, my eyes have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My eyes have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My eyes have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My eyes have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I mean, that's what it's like. It may seem very, very humorous, but that's what we tend to do. No, we are the healed. We expect the manifestation. It will come because we are standing in faith in what God has said. The other thing is, don't accept the lies of the enemy. We had a beautiful example of that last week, right here, when a woman came forward and she wanted some prayer for a pain in her right side. So Joshua was up here and prayed for her and said, how are you feeling? And she said, the pain's gone. Now it's on the left side. It's like, So, first of all, notice that I said, don't accept the lies of the evil one. The writer of Acts, Luke, put it this way. He talks about Jesus. He says, how anointed with power, he went about doing good, healing all that were afflicted of the evil one. Behind every physical symptom that we may be having, every challenge in our body, every challenge in our emotions, is got a spiritual component of the evil one behind it somewhere. Sometimes it's very obvious, sometimes it's not so obvious, but it is always there. I remember one time Pastor was out here doing some work, and he jumped off the wall over here by his gate, and there was this sharp pain in his, I believe it was his ankle. And the evil one immediately said, "Ah, you've broken your ankle." And he said, "No, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus." And then the pain moved up to his knee. And she said, "Well, see, you've ruined your knee now." And so he says, "Well, no, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My knee is fine." And then moved up to his hip. And he dealt with that one, moved over to his other hip. And then finally he said, "This is ridiculous. Satan, just get out of here." I mean, see, the evil one will try to get you to believe something. You know, it's like the Chinese menu. You know, what do you want today? Is this pain in your side? Is it cancer? You know, is it my kidneys? Is it your liver? Is it the pancreas? Is it whatever? Is it something I ate? Well, what will you accept? Well, yeah, it must have been that hamburger I had today. I knew it was not good. You know, so, okay, you want it to be food poisoning? And then he's more than happy to oblige. So don't accept the lies of the devil. Why? Because you have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. You are healthy, healed, and whole. So how do you live as the healed of the Lord? Well, first of all, there is an environment that's really helpful. And that is living continually in the kingdom of God. In Matthew 6:33, we looked at that a little earlier. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." In Romans 4:17 says, "The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy." When we are in the kingdom, when we are doing things that put us in the kingdom, when we're confessing our sins regularly, when we are walking as best as we can in peace and in joy and in patience, we are walking in the kingdom of God. We are acknowledging the Lord over our lives, to live continually in the kingdom of God. That's a good place to start. And my next comments are that that is a place that you are in your life, and all of a sudden an attack comes into your life. Something happens. Then you need to resist the devil. You speak to him and you speak to your body. No. Devil, go. Satan, go. And body, you line up to the word of God. It's an attitude based on the fact that I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus and I see myself as healthy, healed, and whole. Anything different than that is not who I am. And so we have to deal with it. And in this case, we're going after the devil. Now, the other thing is you do the opposite by faith. And what I mean by that is I've had this happen several times. I've been out walking. And as I'm walking, all of a sudden, my right side of my body will just go numb. I'll just get this, and it's just numb. Now, I have a choice at that point. I can say, "Oh my God, what's going on?" Right? Or I can say, "Wait a second. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus." And the tendency is when those things happen is you want to pull back. But you know what I do? I say, "No way." I start walking harder. I start walking with more force because I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And within seconds, it's gone. When I was going through the challenge with my heart, sometimes at lunchtime, I would go out and do some affirmations. And I'd be walking. And as I would walk, the pain that I was feeling would increase. The discomfort would increase. And the natural tendency is to, "Whoa, I better slow down a little bit." But you know what I would do? I'd say, "No, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus." So I would start walking faster. And I would challenge the devil. And I would say, "I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Take your best shot, Satan. I'm the healed of the Lord, and you can't have your way with me. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord." And it wouldn't be long before I would be running. I would be running when my body felt like it wanted to slow way down because of the pain. No, I am the healed of the Lord. I don't accept things like that. So you say, no, Satan, get out of here. Body, you line up and then do the opposite of what you feel like you want to do. A pain comes, just, you know what they say in baseball, right? Walk it off. Well, it's a good practice. A pain comes in your knee or when you're out walking or running or doing whatever. Say, no, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Walk on it more. Walk on it harder. Just keep pressing in to what you know is to be right, that you are the healed of the Lord. That's walking by faith and not by sight. We look to the Lord. We focus on drawing closer to Him. And that's one reason why we don't look for the manifestation. We're not looking for the manifestation because we know that we have been healed. But what we are doing is using that time to draw closer to the Lord, to practice the things that we have learned, to confess our sins, to increase the anointing in our life. We're looking for things. We talk here about the secondary methods, spending time with the Lord, reading His Word, listening to worship music, taking communion, these kind of activities that help us to draw closer and to focus more on the Lord. Hebrews 12:2 says that we are to look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. When we look to Him, He will help us and guide us into how we are to walk in our faith in order to overcome. And Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those that come to Him must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. See, that's where I was talking earlier about the standing in faith. There's work involved in standing in faith because we are diligently seeking Him. In other words, we're doing something. We are doing our affirmations. We're confessing that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We are spending time in the Word. We're studying healing scriptures, whatever it might be. We are diligent in our time of standing. It's not just casually waiting. It's not patience. Oh, just wait here until something happens. No, we are believing God, and so we diligently seek Him. Number five, affirm consistently. It's not affirm constantly, it's affirm consistently that you have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We should just do that whether we're having any kind of challenges going on or not. We should be, on a regular basis, affirming that I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. But we need to do it consistently, every day. It's better to do 20 a day than to do 200 one day and 50 the next day and then go 3 days without doing any. And then, oh yeah, I'm supposed to do that. And then, you know, back and forth and up and down. It's better to do 25 a day or 20 a day or 10 a day, but every day, than to be up and down and missing it. So affirm consistently. And then when a challenge does come and you're patiently waiting, then you might want to add a specific dealing with the challenge. My knee has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My foot has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My eyes have been healed. Whatever it is that you are dealing with. Now, sometimes what's going on in our lives is there may be many different types of challenges going on in our body. And so how do we deal with that? Well, first of all, we need to remember that I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we are more than conquerors. We are super conquerors through Him who loved us. And as we stand in faith, nothing is impossible to God except for Him lying, of course, which we already talked about. And because He has said that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, that you have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, you are healthy, healed, and whole. Because He has said that, you need to know that whatever the challenges are, no matter how many there are, you can overcome every single one of them. But in a practical sense, it's sometimes hard to deal with all of them at once. So what do? Well, you take the ones that are the most life-altering. You know, if you've got pain, if you've got weakness in your body, those kind of things are affecting your lifestyle, affecting the things that God wants you to do. So deal with those first. You know, if you've got hearing challenges, but you have hearing aids and they're doing okay right now, then fine. Deal with more immediate things to start with. Now, it doesn't mean that maybe you wouldn't do a few affirmations about it, but don't make that necessarily the main focus. So if you've got pain, if you've got discomforts, weaknesses, whatever kind of things that are affecting your lifestyle, deal with those first and then just keep working it down, because you can overcome everything, because you are the healed of the Lord. I am what God says I am. You need to believe that. Healthy, healed, and whole. See yourself through the eye of faith, not through what you see in the natural, through the eye of faith. Don't be looking at the circumstances around you. Don't be walking by sight. Walk by faith. Don't look to the symptoms, and don't look for the manifestation in the ways that I was describing. We expect those manifestations because we are healed and we will see it. Remember, the lepers, as they went, were healed. And many times that's the way it happens. I know that's the way it happened with me. It's just like with my heart challenge. It's just like it was about a 9-month process of working through this. And then all of a sudden I realized one day, I thought, wow, I haven't been having any symptoms. Gee, it's been a couple of weeks since I've had any symptoms. Praise the Lord, I've been healed. Amen. I mean, I had been healed already, but praise the Lord, I saw the manifestation, right? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Healed, healthy, and whole. Yes. Be made whole. Yes. Behold. All right.